From the Ozark Folk Encyclopedia under Y, Yarn. Rayburn's encyclopedia is full of yarns, but under Y, he has some information about the folklore of yarn. Yarn is a textile fiber spun from any natural source and may be animal, vegetable, or mineral. The yarn we know is spun from wool, cotton, silk, and flax. It may be made into cloth through the process of weaving, knitted into socks, mittens, caps, and sweaters, or executed into embroidery. A thread is two or more single yarns doubled and twisted. Both yarn and thread have had a part in our folklore for hundreds of years. Its superstitious connections were rooted in Anglo-Saxon lore of pre-Norman days. A few of these quaint beliefs and practices were carried to the Ozarks by the early settlers. They appear to link with remedies for certain diseases more than anything else. For example, the cure for chills. To cure a child of chills, first find out the age of the child and how many chills it has had. Take a silk string and tie a knot in the string for every chill. Tie them about 1 inch apart. Do this secretly and be sure you are not observed. Then bury the string under the eaves of the house or barn. This works only on children over a year old, and the person tying the knots and burying the string must not be related to the parents by blood or marriage. When the string rots, the chills will be gone. The remedy for adults who have chills and fever is to tie knots in a yarn string, wool preferred, one knot for each chill. Go into the woods and tie it around a tree, chest high. The fever will go down and the chilling will stop. The yarn string had other uses, too, in the field of primitive medicine. The left hind foot of a mole, fastened to a yarn string around the baby's neck, would cure teething sickness. If one had a sore toe with the underskin cracked, a yarn string was tied around it. Wool fibers were considered powerful medicine in the old days. They got tangled up in romance, too, for if a young woman was making herself a new dress and the thread became tangled, she would marry before the dress was worn out. Some girls probably tangled the thread on purpose. To Myrtle Lane of Barnumton, Missouri, we are indebted for an interesting account of how thread was secured in the early days in the Ozarks by her grandmother. Instead of going to the store, as we do, and buying a 5-cent spool of thread, my grandmother picked cotton from her own cotton patch for making the thread for her own use. After the cotton had been picked, seeds removed, and carded, she would sit down to her spinning wheel and spin the thread to do her family sewing. A slow way to get a little thread, but it was about the only way she had of obtaining such homely articles, and was done the way her mother had done it. When the local stores began carrying unbleached muslin at a price not altogether prohibitive, the hill women would buy a yard or two of the material, tear it lengthwise, and use the warp for thread. These ravelings were twisted to give them sewing strength. I suppose the woof was given to the little daughters to be twisted into thread that would do for a beginner. We often criticize elderly women for being stingy with the little sewing thread, but when we consider the scarcity of this article in the early days, we can hardly blame them for appreciating and harboring the short lengths of sewing thread that we would toss into the wastebasket without a single thought. My grandmother used to save the basting threads removed from a finished garment. She would use these scraps of thread to piece quilts or patch torn garments. She had learned the value of thread when thread was thread, as she often remarked. The late Will Rice of St. Joe, Arkansas, once told how a yarn string served as an alibi for one of his neighbors. There was more than 2 miles of yarn in Uncle Enoch's knit wool cap. When he departed for home from the crossroads Monday, someone noticed that the bottom of his cap had started to unravel and tied the end to a chair leg. Enoch had been in a violent religious argument and was so angry and unstrung that he noticed nothing as he went mumbling along down the road to his home 2 miles distant. When he reached home, his cap was unraveled down to a piece the size of a small saucer on top of his head. However, the trail of wool yarn was of some benefit to him, as the folks were able to trace him back to the store and make certain that the trail did not start from the local beer joint, which they had once accused him of visiting.